Second Corinthians chapter number 1.
Give you just a moment to find it there. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're going to read the first 4 verses. We've already prayed, so I'll try to get right into the message this morning. But 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's begin reading in verse number 1. This goes right along with the Sunday school lesson this morning, part of it. And when Brother Stephen opened up and he read John 16, verse number 33, and said what he said about comfort and in tribulation, that's what the verse is about there. But let's read in verse number 1. The Bible said, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." And I desire your prayers this morning that the Lord would help us and speak to our hearts from His Word. But let's go back and read verse number 3 one more time. Beginning there in verse number 3, notice what the Bible says. "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort." That's what I want to look at just a little bit this morning. And the God of all comfort. As far as a Easter message goes, this is not your typical Easter message, but the past few days at our house and in our lives have not been typical days. You know, sometimes you have days that are like that. And I remember going to the bank one time, and I had to go do some business in there. And I asked the lady how she was doing, how her week was going. And she said, "Well, just normal." And I've said this before, if you have just normal, you ought to thank God. Because sometimes life is anything but normal, and it just gets crazy and turned upside down, and all of those things. In just a matter of time, your normal can just be turned upside down. And I'm sure that most everybody here this morning knows that Kim's daddy passed away on Friday, this past Friday. I know a lot of people knew him, and some of you grew up around him and you've known him through the years, but he passed away on Friday, just suddenly, unexpectedly. And, you know, we weren't expecting that. He hadn't been sick, as far as people talk about somebody being sick and expecting that they would pass away. But just in a matter of just a few minutes, our whole world turned upside down, just 5 or 10 minutes. I mean, Kim had left the house. Everything's fine. She's got all these things that she has to do on Friday, her and Abigail and Chloe, and they go over there and they were going to clean his house. She does that every other Friday, usually, and got me on the phone. You know, he wouldn't come to the door, and just in a matter of a few minutes, 5 minutes maybe, 10 minutes at the most, everything turns upside down. That's how life is sometimes, and that can happen so very quickly. And there's been a tremendous amount of concern and calls and people coming by and visiting and bringing food and all of these things, and we appreciate all of it so very, very much. Everything everybody has done. What a blessing when you go through something like that you have a church family. I don't know what some people do without a church family. And the great outpouring of concern that you get from the children of God and your friends and family and all these things. But here's my thought this morning, and I've not had anything else on my mind but this last part of verse number 3, where the Bible says that He is the God of all comfort. I want you to look at this verse. And I want you to, if you've not got it underlined, underline at least one word in this verse. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And that's what that little word all, you ought to underline that in your Bible. That's what I want to try to preach on this morning. I want to try to preach just a few minutes this morning on the subject, the monopoly of comfort. The Bible does not say that He's the God of comfort. It doesn't say He's the God of some comfort, but He's the God of all comfort. That's what the Bible says. Now, if you have a monopoly on something, or when you have a monopoly on something, it means this. It means the sole power of vending. And when you're talking about vending, the sole power of something, it means, vending means to sell. But God is not in the selling of comfort, but He is in the comfort business, and He's the only one that has it. He has the sole authority of it. He has the ability and the power to transfer it. That's what a monopoly has. Means the ability or the power to transfer something. You have to go to one source in order to get it. The exclusive right of possessing. He's the God of all comfort. He has the monopoly on it. Do you know the Bible says over in James chapter 1 verse 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good thing in life comes from God. Every good thing. The world has no claim. It has no power whatsoever. Every good thing in this life has a source, and that source is God. Every good gift. Isn't that a blessing? Every perfect gift. Somebody says, well, the world out here can show charity. Yes, it can, but where's the idea of charity come from? Somebody else can do good. Where's the idea of good come from? Somebody else can love. Well, where's the idea of love? Everything. Everything comes from God. Every good gift, every perfect gift. And the Bible says here that He's the God of all comfort. He has a monopoly on comfort. And in this life, whether you need it right now or whether you need it down the road, you're going to need comfort. Along the road to this life, there's going to be times where you need to have some comfort in your life. He has a monopoly on comfort. I'm going to show you three things out of verse number 4, and I'll be done today. But first of all, I want to show you, when you have a monopoly on something, you have the market on it. You have the market on that product, that whatever it is. Verse number 4 says this, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. There's that word all again. And he's talking about God here. He's the God of all comfort. Notice there's not a period there. But the sentence goes on. And the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. You ought to underline that word all a second time. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation. And so we've heard somebody say about a certain subject or a product that we might hear somebody say, well, they've got the market covered, you know, on that. There's nowhere, no other way to break into this field because they've got the market covered. Now, you young people probably don't realize this unless you've studied it in school. But when I was growing up, we studied about and talked about this in some of our classes, I remember, because it was happening at that time. And what was happening at that time is that the government broke up the monopoly of the phone company. Do you know once upon a time there was only one phone company? It was AT&T, and they called it AT&T and the Bell system. You know, it had all the different names, but really one company owned everything that had to do with your with the phone. You know, once upon a time, the phone was attached to the wall, and you had to go to the phone to talk on it. Now, you young people probably don't even think about that, but that's the way that it was. And one company owned everything to do with telephones. They owned all the telephone wires and the system and the switchboards and the operators and the 411 information system. Whatever, you had to call the operator to get information once upon a time, or to get the police to come, as before 911 and all these things. But and even the telephones and all the personnel. And I guess this is what the government really can't stand. They made all the money that there was to make on the phone systems. And so the government came in and they went through the court system and they made them break up their phone companies. And so when I was growing up, you didn't have Verizon and Charter and Sprint and all these other, I mean, there's probably hundreds and hundreds of phone companies today. But once upon a time, one company had the monopoly on everything that had to do with the phone. I've got good news for you this morning. God has a monopoly on comfort, and the government will not break it up. Isn't that a blessing? That's one thing they're not going to get their grimy hands on, is God's monopoly on comfort. He's got the monopoly on it. Comfort comes from the Lord. It says in verse number 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Now, we're not going to go as God's people. We will not go through what we hear sometimes called or referred to as the tribulation. When we're talking about the tribulation, we're talking about what the Bible says. Jesus said that there shall come great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world. I believe that's in the Gospel of Luke 21. We're not talking about that tribulation. Or the Old Testament says in Jeremiah chapter number 30, it talks about the time of Jacob's trouble. There is coming a great tribulation upon this earth, a time of turmoil, a time of distress, a time of wrath, and this world has never seen a day that's going to be as bad as that day is going to be. Talking about the tribulation, but that does not mean that we as God's people will not go through tribulation. You'll go through tribulation. We're going to go through times of tribulation in this life. Now, it talks about it here in this passage of Scripture that the Lord comforteth us in all our tribulation. What is tribulation? I looked up that word and I'll just give you the definition this morning. Tribulation is this: severe affliction. You're going to have times in your life where there's going to be severe affliction. What's that mean? You're going to have troubles. You're going to have sorrow. You're going to have pain. It means this: to be distresses of life. Don't think that just because you're a child of God that you are immune from problems. You're going to have your share of problems. The Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust. Everybody in this life is going to have distresses of life. You're going to have vexations. You're going to have all kinds of problems in this life. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Now, what does that mean? That means no matter what your tribulation is, no matter what your present state of distress is, that God's able to comfort you in all of them. No matter what happens in this life, when trouble comes, When sorrow comes, sorrow is going to come. Sickness is going to come in your life. And it amazes me. And I had a good reminder this past week. How quickly sickness can come upon you. I mean, you can be well. You can be healthy. You can be up and walking in the land of the living like I was last Sunday morning. But by Monday night, sometimes you feel like you'd have to die to get better, don't you? The flu can come, cancer can come, all kinds of things. You can be healthy as a horse, as we might say, and sickness come into your life. Thank the Lord, He touched me. I say, I don't want to shake hands with you, preacher. That's all right. I think I'm better. Like some people say, I went to the doctor and he said I'm not contagious. I want to say, how does he know? You know what? Boy, it can come. Sorrow can come. Sickness can come. Affliction can come. Death can come. Just like that. I thought the other day, how many times have I stood in this very pulpit and said time and time again, not a one of us has a promise that we'll be back next Sunday. Not a one of us. Not a one of us knows that we will wake up on Monday morning. It could be one of us. It could be somebody near and dear unto us. We do not know, but I'm telling you, no matter what comes in this life, there's one that can comfort us in all our tribulations. Death is never an easy thing. I don't care what the circumstances are, who it is. Sometimes you have reason to rejoice more than you do at other times, but I'm telling you, it does not matter what the situation or circumstance is. Sometimes hard circumstances are going to come. What are you going to do? You're going to have to go to God. I heard a song yesterday, spoke to my heart, said, put your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Praise the Lord. There's one that we can go to in all of our tribulations, and He can do something about it. Isn't that a blessing? It says, who comforteth us. You know, what is comfort anyway? Have you ever thought about that? Well, comfort is a soft bed. That's not what that means. Comfort is my recliner at the end of a hard day's work. That's not what that word comfort really means. Now, we might like that. That might feel good. We might say, boy, that's comfortable. But really, that word comfort, what it means, what does it mean when it says He's the God of all comfort? That word comfort is actually a compound word. And the prefix is the word come, which means to. We know that. This is not a complicated thing. The prefix come means to. And the word fort, you say, what's a fort? A fort is a fort. Our English word fort is where that comes from. It means the same thing. You build a fort and it's to fortify. Or it means this, to strengthen. The word comfort literally means to strengthen. Who comforteth us in all our tribulations, who comes along and strengthens us in a time of weakness, is what that means. It means to strengthen, to invigorate, to cheer, to strengthen the mind when depressed. You ever get depressed? You ever get down? You ever wonder what in the world's going on? Do you know what? Somebody can comfort you. Somebody can come along, strengthen you. It means to console. It means to relieve from depression. It means to have relief from pain. Rest after pain. The word signifies new strength. Boy, I like that. You ever need some new strength? You ever feel like everything you have is just drained out of you and you don't know how you're ever going to go on with your present situation? You don't know how you're going to face tomorrow. Thank God. I'm glad there's one that's able to give new strength in days like that. That's comfort. Comfort is real help, new strength. It means ease and quiet When pain, trouble, agitation, or affliction ceases, comfort means to support. It means consolation under calamity, distress, or danger. There's one today, I'm glad I can tell you, that has a monopoly on comfort. He knows all about it. He's able to comfort us, strengthen us, help us, relieve us in our pain and in our distresses. That's what that means. Well, I was studying over here in Psalms 94. Keep your place. Turn over to Psalms 94. You might need this. You might need this in the days and weeks ahead. I can just read it to you, but I'm telling you, I've noticed something and been thinking about something lately while you're finding it. Let me just say this while you're turning to Psalms 94. Let's always be a people that brings our Bibles to church. Amen. I've noticed going up down the road and here and yonder, and I'm not going to be real specific, but it seems to me like a lot of people go to church but don't carry the Word of God. Now, to me, without this, we might as well have a social club. To me and to my children, and what we want to teach them is what matters is what God's Word says. That's where you're going to get your strength. That's where you're going to get your comfort. How do we live in a day where Christians go to church, people who say they're Christians go to church, but yet when you ask them about things out here in the world, they don't seem to believe what the Word of God says. I guarantee you they don't carry their Bible to church. Probably because the preacher's not preaching from the Bible. But you know what the Bible says in Psalms 94? Verse number 17, look what David said. Look what the psalmist said. He said in verse 17, unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. You ever been there in your life? You know what he's saying? He's saying, I thought I was going to die. I believe I would have died. My soul would have dwelt in silence unless the Lord had been my help. Had God not come along when He did and picked me up the way He did, I believe I'd have died. I don't believe I'd have made it. That's what He's saying. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. Look at verse 18. When I said, my foot slippeth, oh Lord, I'm going down. I don't know if I can handle this. I'm about to fall. Look what he said. Oh Lord. He said, oh, when I said my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. That's comfort. That is a literal picture of what comfort is. When we are about to fall, or at the point of death, or where we think sometimes we're going to die, God comes along and He holds you up. That there's a strength that the world cannot see, cannot understand, does not know where it comes from, but the child of God can testify and say, the Lord came by, held me up. That's comfort. To come to strengthen, to come to invigorate, to come to revive is what that means. And when you have a monopoly on something, you know there's a lot of imitations. If you have a monopoly out here in the world and you're the only one that's got a certain product and boy, it's the best product that there is and nobody else comes close to it, there's going to be a lot of people that will try to imitate what you've got, but nobody can duplicate what you got. That's why you have the monopoly on it. And you know that's the same thing with comfort. The world has a lot of imitations of comfort, but they cannot duplicate the comfort of God. The world offers many things to those that are going through dark valleys in their lives. The world has a lot of quick remedies that they try to prescribe, and the world has pills, and the world has alcohol, and the world has groups and therapies and people you can, professionals that you can go and talk to, and some of them are very well-meaning. I mean, they're doing the very best that they can under the circumstances, but I'm telling you this morning, the world has nothing to compare to Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How you going to compare to that? The world says, come and talk to us and we'll hash out all your feelings and we'll talk about your past. The Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon me. My burden is easy. It's what the Word of God says. The world doesn't have anything to compare to that. The world doesn't have the peace of God which passes all understanding. Passeth all understanding is what the Bible says. The world doesn't have anything to compare to that. I had somebody one time I was talking to, and they was talking about quitting drinking, and he said, you know what really dawned on me when I quit drinking, what the Lord helped me and everything? And he said, when I realized that if I drank all the liquor in the liquor store, it wouldn't be enough. When I realized that the refineries never made enough, they wouldn't make enough to satisfy me, I'd never be satisfied. He said, I realized it would never satisfy. That's how it is. That's how the world is. If you could drink a river dry, you'd never be satisfied. If you could take every pill that was made, you'd never be satisfied. If you could talk to the very best counselors that there was, they couldn't really help what was going on in your heart. But I'm glad there's one today's got a monopoly on comfort. If you could get to Him, if you could go to Him, you'd find out what real comfort was. He's the God of all comfort. He's got the market cornered on the whole thing. You can't go to another and get it. You can go and pray to some false god. You can go and talk, but you'll not get comfort out of that. He's got the market on it. When you have a monopoly, you have the market. When you have a monopoly, you have the power to multiply as well. Look back in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 4. Now, first of all, it says in this passage of Scripture, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Then it says this, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. He has the power to multiply comfort. He has the power to multiply comfort. Now notice what it says exactly, that we, now this is talking about the children of God. It's not talking about the world. It's not talking about the civic club out here. I'm not throwing off on them. I'm glad people make breakfast and you can go eat pancakes or whatever goes on. That doesn't bother me a bit. I'm glad that people want to come together for good things. I'm not throwing off on whatever, the Ruritan Club, that just come to mind. Or the Kiwanis, or the JCs. How would we have Little League Baseball if it wasn't for all them things? I guess they still sponsor. They used to. But when it says we, it's talking about the children of God. It's talking about believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Now don't think we don't appreciate every call, every card, every plate of donuts or cookies. You know, when you have trouble, when you have death in your family like we've had this week, people come by and they bring things. We appreciate that from the bottom of our hearts. Somebody calls, somebody sends a message, thank you, that is such a blessing, but you cannot. And sometimes people will come and they'll say, can we do anything? And you know what? They really mean it. That's a blessing. But you cannot, unbeliever, pray for us. If Brother Kyle comes to my house and I'm going through a type of tribulation in my life, and He wants to be a blessing and help to me and says, "Preacher, can I do anything? Maybe there's nothing physically to do, but I could say, pray for us." And he would. And God would hear and answer that prayer. But I couldn't say that to an unbeliever. It would be in vain to say that, because who would they pray to? If they did go and pray, what would it accomplish? What good would be done out of it? I see these people that say, send good thoughts our way. Well, I got something better. I'll just pray and ask God to intervene on your behalf. I'll just pray and ask God to come along and do for you what I am not able to do. And we have had many, many people within this a few minutes the other day, and I got a text message from a brother preacher that said, "I am praying, I just heard, I'm praying for you. I know." I had all that. God can do something with them prayers. I was going to the funeral home yesterday to take some clothes over there, and Brother Dwayne Whittemore, many of you know him, a preacher, he called me on the phone and was asking about something, and I just told him what had happened and what we were doing. And he said, "Brother Wynn, I'm so sorry." He said, "As soon as I hang up the phone," he said, "Faye," that's his wife, "she's right here in the house." He said, "We'll stop what we're doing and we'll have prayer for you." You say, "Preacher, did that help?" Boy, you better believe it did. The prayers of God's people, the grace of God is real. It is real to have people pray for you and help you and come along beside of you and say, "I want to pray for you." So many preachers called me. So many Christians called me and said, "Brother, we're far away. Is there anything we can do?" I said, "No, we're going to pray for you." That's a comfort. That's a help. That's a blessing. Now, if you tell somebody you're going to pray for them, you better pray for them. It will not do any good if they say, "Pray for me," and you say, "I will," and you don't. I believe God will still help them, because somebody will. But I won't get in on that being a help and a blessing. You say, "Preacher, I don't know what to say when something bad happens in somebody's life, when somebody's sick, when somebody has cancer. I don't know. I would just be a bother to go around." Don't feel like that. Don't think that. God has given us a fellowship among one another to be a blessing to one another in times of tribulation. People say, "I don't want to bother nobody." The Bible says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Somebody might bring by some coffee cups or a thing of napkins. You know what that is? That's an expression of love. That's an expression of love. That's a help. That's a blessing. All these things are good. Somebody sends a card. Somebody sends a note or a text message. Don't think that's not a good thing to do. Don't think somebody won't get a blessing out of that. That lets people know that they care for you and you're cared for. You say it's not much, but yes, it's something. See, God is able to multiply comfort. And isn't it a blessing that He allows us to be involved in what He does? Because you never know that God might allow you to be a blessing to somebody. Sister Jan came the other day. Now, I've said this before. Her father recently passed away. And she could come to the house and she could hug Kim around the neck and she could say, "I know what you're going through." Be careful telling somebody, "I know how you feel," if you don't know how they feel. But if you've been through a time of tribulation and problem in your life, be a blessing to somebody else. You do know what they're going through. If you've had cancer, if you've been sick, don't be afraid to seek out other people that have found out that they're sick. Try to be a blessing to them. You've been there. You know how it is. "I don't know how it is. I've not lost a parent. There's some things I can't say. I know how you feel." But I'll tell you, when somebody has a child that passes away or is very sick down in the hospital, I know. God knows. I've been there. Boy, my heart goes out. And if I could just tell somebody, I know what that's like. I'm so sorry. I'm praying for you. God's grace is sufficient. No matter what happens, God knows. And He allows us to be involved in this ministry of comfort. Isn't that a blessing? He can multiply comfort. He has the market on it. He's able to multiply it. Boy, I like this. He has the means of it. Look in verse 4 again. It said there in the last part of verse number 4, it says that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. There's a comma. Look what it says. By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. He has the means to multiply. He has the means. That means that He has the power. He has the ability to do what we're talking about. You know, a lot of people have ideas. I'm like that. I have all kinds of good ideas. I really do. But you got to have some capital. You got to have some, what's that old saying, it takes money to make money? A lot of people say, when an invention comes along, do you know how many people will say, I thought of that already. They stole my invention. I could have been rich. But yeah, you didn't have any means to put it into production. You didn't have any power to make it work. You didn't have the resources to put behind it to make it a successful venture. You didn't have the means. But I'm glad today that when God has a monopoly on comfort, He's got the means to make it so. He's got the power and the ability to bring to pass the comfort that He promises. Look in verse number 8. Look what Paul said. I wish we could read and study all this, but skipping ahead, he said, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. Don't think you're not going to have trouble. Paul had trouble. And he didn't whitewash it and paint it over like it had never happened to the church at Corinth. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant about the trouble we had. He said in Asia that we were pressed out of measure above strength. You ever been there? I don't know if I can go on. This is major. This is serious. That's what Paul's saying. Pressed out of measure above strength. In so much that we despaired of life, he said, I thought I was going to die. Verse 9, he said, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves. We didn't know, think we was going to die. We'd already passed the death sentence. He said that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. Say, where's the Easter in all of this right there? How do you know He's got the power to comfort? How do I know the Lord's going to help me? Because He's got the power to raise the dead. And anybody that has the power to raise the dead's got the power to do anything they want to. And that reminded Paul of the power of God. He said that He has the power which raiseth the dead is what it's talking about. Why do we have hope today? Why can we have consolation in times of trouble? Why can we have hope and comfort in all these things? Because we serve a risen Savior. Somebody said to me, Happy Easter on Friday. And Abigail and I were talking about that it was funny, not funny, but odd. Because I wouldn't have thought this person went to church or even really thought anything about God. But they told me, Happy Easter. And I was talking to Abigail and we said, we should be the ones that said, Happy Easter. But you know what? I serve a risen Savior every day of the week. And God is real to me all the time, on time. And I'm not saying it's a big deal today. And I praise the Lord for Easter and all that it means. But every Sunday's Easter Sunday to me. We can come in and sing Victory in Jesus on a Monday night, 12 of us together meet together, or on Sunday morning, and praise God, He's just as real and alive to me then. I don't have to have a special day of the year, of the year to say, praise God, Victory in Jesus. He's alive. He's alive. He has the means to multiply. We serve a risen Savior. He has the means. Some people say, I'll never get through this. This will never end. It'll never get any better. Let me show you something in verse number 11. There's the prospect always of deliverance. You might right now be in the lowest point of your life. You say, I'm not comforted very much in your message. I just cannot see any way out of this. Look at verse 11. The Bible said this, or verse number 10. Who delivered us from so great a death? That's what God did for Paul in the past. They had the sentence of death in themselves, and he said, but let me tell you, he delivered us. Has God ever delivered you in the past? Don't forget it. When it looks dark and black and you don't know where to turn and you don't know if the sun's out or not and you don't see any way out, look back at what God's done for you in the past. And say, boy, it don't look very bright now, but I want to remind myself what God has done in the past. He's come through many, many times. I don't believe He'll fail me now. Who delivered us? That's the past. Verse number 10. And doth deliver. That's the present right now. You say, boy, that's good. That's pretty good what God did for you 5 years ago. Yeah, but let me tell you what He's done for me now. He's able right now. He is a very present help in trouble. It's what the Word of God says. When Kim called me on the phone the other day, and I was all the way over at our house, and she is all the way over at her daddy's house, and she's crying on the phone, and she's afraid, literally afraid of going in there and what they're going to find, and I could not be there for her right at that time. Say, preacher, what'd you do? On the phone, I said, God, I cannot be there right now. Please send somebody to help her. And I'm telling you, no sooner did that prayer go out of my heart than she said, oh wait, here comes somebody walking around the corner. And that man was Eugene's neighbor. And you say, preacher, what a coincidence. That's no coincidence. That's my God. And he went in and he was there exactly when my wife needed somebody, when I couldn't be. He doth deliver. You say, I'm at the lowest point. He doth deliver. This is the last of the last. He does deliver. Now it might be close, but praise God, He delivers. You might think He's not going to, but He does. He doth deliver. He has done it in the past. He is doing it right now many, many times. And look in verse number 10. In whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. That's the future. That's the prospect. There's always the prospect of deliverance. And ultimately, there's going to be an ultimate deliverance. Just a few chapters before this, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Praise God. The ultimate deliverance of the rapture of the church is what we're talking about. There's the prospect that today might be the day. Praise God. Well, until then, look at verse 11. Ye also helping together by prayer for us. What a help. What a blessing when somebody prays for you. When we're able to pray one for another, He's the God of all comfort today. I'll close by saying this morning. A monopoly on comfort comforts me. Say, preacher, how is that this morning? The fact that God has the monopoly on comfort comforts me. It comforts me because I always know who has it. I always know. I was listening to the news the other day and they said, a lot of people have insurance now that didn't have it before. Well, that sounds wonderful, but they're finding out they can't find a doctor. What good's insurance if you can't find a doctor? That's sort of flawed, isn't it? But when I need comfort, I don't have to worry if God has changed providers. I don't have to worry if where I used to go to get comfort, now somebody else has it. I always know who's got it. I always know where to go to get it. When there's a monopoly, you don't have a choice. So it's a good thing God's got the monopoly on comfort. If you want real comfort, you really don't have a choice. You're going to have to get it from Him. I know who has it. I know where to go to get it. And I'll tell you something else I know. I know that no matter how much is needed, He's always going to have enough. Isn't that a blessing? You don't go to God and He say, well, I'll help you this much, but you're going to have to drink the rest of it in. You're going to have to get the rest of it in a pill bottle. You're going to have to get the rest of it from a counselor or something like that. No, sir. No matter how much I need, He'll have it all. He'll have all you need. He'll never run out. Isn't that a blessing? Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. I'm going to ask our ladies to come to the instruments.